Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Welcome to the trap.
Get your dad body in the back.
Welcome to the trap.
Get your dad body in the back.
Welcome to the trap.
Tripping better than slipping.
Welcome to the trap.
But sometimes we be tripping.
Welcome to the trap. Where we joke and rap. Gut busting laughs. Hand slapping laps.
Girl slapping loud.
Get you through your day.
Get you through your day.
And it's free of cost.
I'm so cheap.
Don't you laugh too loud.
No.
Don't get fired by your boss.
File unemployment.
Welcome to the Comedy Trap House.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of the Comedy Trap House. I am your host, Rome Green Jr. In the building with me, I got Cam.
I'm watching the game if y'all see me looking to the right.
He's watching the game if y'all see him looking to the right. And that's not Emmanuel sitting over there, because Emmanuel don't have hair like that.
Okay. For a long time.
For a long time. This is someone who I've known since 2017, who's become a great friend in my life. And one of the reasons why she's a great friend is because she lets us pick on her, which, you know, when you're a part of this friend group, you got to get picked on. So yep. That's just what's got to happen. And so she is a designer. She is a businesswoman and entrepreneur. And everybody,
a designer and a whiner.
A designer and a whiner. Everybody give a nice round of applause for Alex,
aka
okay, gas me,
aka ankles. Ooh. Can't forget the AKA.
Wow.
Big, never forget the AKA.
Big ankles.
Hello.
So hello, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay,
finally.
I'm glad you're here.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, she's been annoying me for months. When are you gonna let me get on the podcast? I'm like, what Alex. Like, she's like, I got
she's
stories.
Like, existence.
She's like, I got things I need to talk about. So I'm like, all right.
You know, I don't live here, so now that I
yeah,
showed
you
up,
used to live here though.
A long time ago.
Yeah, tell the people your backstory. Where are you from?
I'm from Washington D.C.
Okay,
really Silver Spring, Maryland, MoCo, baby.
So you're from Maryland.
I live in Southwest D.C.
Okay,
people from D.C. would know what that is.
Yes.
I used to live in Vegas.
Okay.
Lived in you didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah, I lived in Vegas. Worked at the clubs. Worked at Dre's, and then
I like that beach club.
That's in the cool little beach club.
And then I moved to LA for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Soul searching. And then now I'm back in D.C.
Now you're back in D.C. And you be out here every other month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. You're going to move back.
I'm not moving back.
You're going to move back at some point in your life.
I like to say I'm bi-coastal.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. let's just get right into it. You read something right before we got on, and I want you to read that again, because me and Cam was like that's rough.
Oh my goodness, this is actually funny. Okay, so yeah. My friend posted this meme, and it says women think
I don't think that's the one.
Oh, sorry. Just kidding. It was, I remember. She deleted it. I
gotcha.
Guess somebody probably like got said offended.
Something. Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
If the sex is whack, ladies, let's just boo in his ear.
Let's talk about this for a minute. Like, it's a lot of things that you want to hear during sexual intercourse. But being booed, because you imagine that, like, that you
see if it's quiet and you just hear, you just, and then all of a sudden you hear, boo. This is what you go here. Boo.
Yeah, that's really, that's tough.
Huh? Hey. Boo.
Because it, yikes. Boo.
See, personally, I think about, do I stop or do I say, fuck it, let me just get my nut and get out of here?
Oh, you definitely got to get your nut and get out of there. Yeah. Because at that point, you're in there. She can boo, but it's like, hey, boo-hoo. Because
if you saying boo now at this point, I don't care no more. Yeah, now it's all for me.
Now it's all for me. But that's going to hurt. I'm going to think about that. I'm gonna be like, ooh.
For the rest of your life.
She booed me.
Like, that's like...
You're gonna have like. That's like PTSD when stand up.
That's
that.
Like when stand up comedians have that. You know that fail. You know and they get booed. You like that's like
being on. Have that.
Oh yeah, give me yeah. Put me on stage and boo me because. Yeah. In the bedroom, getting especially pull you close and then the boo.
That's part of the game. You are gonna get booed at some point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Doing comedy, but yeah.
Some heckler or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, not.
You don't want to get booed.
You don't
want to
get booed in bed.
You want to be with your boo in bed, not get booed in bed.
You know, I wanna talk about your life as a bartender, as a bottle girl.
You forgot
girl.
To add that in the intro.
I did, yes. Like she
10 years in the game.
She has been how many years?
10 years. I've been bartending in the nightlife.
In the nightlife for 10 years.
So
all
you
right,
can make a hell out of a drink.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So what?
I lied actually. My first job, I said I was 21 and I was really 19.
Oh,
so
look
that's
at you.
Why.
I knew you wouldn't shit. Lying off top. What? So what was your first job, bartender?
I was in college, VCU, a place called Bliss.
Bliss.
That sounded like a club.
It sounded like it's small in there.
No, it was actually big. Four levels. It was huge.
Four levels?
You know, DC clubs. Oh, yeah, they do be. Multi-level. Yeah,
no, but this was Richmond.
Oh, Virginia.
This was Richmond, Virginia. It was
four
like
levels.
Hole in the wall. The top floor was like a cigar lounge area.
That's where the old heads hung out at.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
That's where you should have been barred. That's where the money is.
Oh, that's where the money at.
And then the main floor was like the dance club, mm-hmm. whatever. And then, but it was where you could have dinner. And then the basement, they would call it Bliss Climax.
Bliss Climax.
So the lower level was Climax.
Yeah.
And it was where all the tables were, like bottle service.
Yeah.
And we would get on the bar and like dance. It was wild. We were wild.
See,
before like Coyote Ugly. I want to flip the question on her.
Okay.
Say you giving a dude head and he's like, boo. What do you do?
I mean.
Wow, you just like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not even finishing.
You think you would cry? That would make you cry?
I would probably bite it and then leave.
Oh, no.
Hey, fellas, don't you ever boo. Don't bite.
Yeah, oh, no.
I'm
all
joking.
Right.
I would never do
back
that.
Back to Bliss.
I'd probably just leave. Though.
But back to Bliss. Yeah, so you started working there.
I was a waitress there.
Okay, first. So you weren't bartending.
I wasn't bartending just yet. Started off as a waitress, but I could bartend.
Because what's wild is, so you were 19. Mm-hmm. So that's roughly... 2000.
What year was that? Oh God.
2011, 12.
Yeah.
11, 12.
That's
wild. And 2010.
That's wild.
2010.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I graduated college that year.
Yes,
you
did.
I graduated high school 2009.
That's wild.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because you know if you own a home. It can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
ridiculous. But so you jumped into the bartender nightlife. Now I feel like this is when bartending and the girls became really like popular, like slowly started, because you know they had the New York girls and like
starlets,
all this, like, and it's just like bartenders became a thing. They was bigger than the strippers, they was bigger than, and so like you working there, is that what made you, like, you a waitress and then you seen like, oh, I'm trying to jump
in. My cousin, who's like a sister of mine, she's 4 years older than me, she used to live with us,
yeah,
she got a job at Hooters when she was
trash food,
terrible food,
trash.
Great
food.
Service.
The first time I ever went to Hooters, I had a girl with no Hooters. I said, "How did you get that?"
Yeah, that's not good service there. Yeah, okay, that's touché. Cheating.
She worked at Hooters, and I remember I was in her closet one time, and I saw a tag for a dress of $800, and I was like, "Renee," she was like, "Yeah, I mean, I make this in a day," and I was like,
"Okay." Like, and to a 19-year-old girl,
I was like 16 at that
point. I was younger.
I was in high school.
She was working at Bliss?
No, she was working at Hooters. Oh,
just at
Hooters. And I was 16. Hooters, she's 4 years old.
She had some big titties, huh?
She did. No, I don't know if she was making that like a night, but I mean, I know back then they were making a lot of money.
It must have been a good location.
Yeah, it had to be. But
I just remember like her hyping how much she would make.
She
would spend it. She would blow so much money. She would go to the club, get tables. I was like, at Hooters. But I mean, what you got to think about is like, it's not just from the food and the tips. It's like, guys are just giving her money.
Yeah, that's the really wild beautiful. Thing. Yeah, yeah.
So I remember thinking,
Let me see.
She's single?
Oh, no, she's actually about to get married.
Oh, okay, well, never mind. You put the phone there.
Okay.
No, I want to see this.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
I know it wasn't the food getting to the tips.
Oh yeah, yeah. But so then you started bartending.
I started bartending in college because I needed some money because I was broke as hell.
Gotcha.
And I actually had a bartending job at a restaurant, and I would work there like during the week, like at night, like after class.
Gotcha.
And then on the weekend, I was working like crazy.
And you were still in school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were balancing both.
It was a lot. I ended up dropping out of school.
Gotcha.
And like becoming like really into just bartending.
What's like the shelf life on a bartender?
You know what? I know bartenders that are in their 40s that are still doing it.
And now, started in their 20s?
I don't know when they started. But
okay, I'm about to say.
Most likely, yeah.
But
where a lot of people get things like messed up is that they think, oh, I'm just going to go to bartending school and it's going to be it. No really good bartender goes to bartending school. No.
Okay.
Get your experience from like...
Just doing parties and shit?
From like being thrown back there.
Gotcha. Like, yeah, yeah.
That's how I figured it out.
Gotcha.
So...
Let me ask you this. How does bartending hurt relationships?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
We have this joke at the club. We call it the bottle girl curse.
Bottle girl curse. Mm-hmm. Because you around dudes all day. You
have to date a really secure man.
Gotcha.
He's got to be really secure. I've had a lot of guys break up with me because of this.
What's the excuse? They meet you in the club and then y'all start dating.
So one guy in particular, he came to visit me. I think Gold Link was hosting at the club that I was working at. And he's like, oh, I love him. Can you get me and my friends? And I was like, yeah, of course. I got you. He comes in. And one of my regulars is so excited to see me. Like, he gives me a hug. He starts whispering in my ear. He was like, man, what he said in my ear was, if you weren't single, I would, like, wife you up.
If you weren't single.
If you were single, I would wife you up. But I was in a relationship. And everybody knew that. I never hid my relationship. And guys loved that. And it just made me, like, more desirable, I guess.
Yeah.
And after that, I remember he was across the bar and he was just like, I can never date a girl like you. Like, and I was just like, actually, the guy was saying like he would want to date me if I were single, but I'm not.
And it's like, I'm trying to think about it from the guy's perspective, like especially being a little bit younger. Yeah, if you're not securing yourself, you know, seeing your girl, you know, at the bar, having to flirt, having to do all this thing, it can affect you, but.
Especially with what these girls wear now.
I think I can be secure enough to do it.
Where
we're not going to work out is sleeping patterns.
Sleeping patterns, for sure.
You're going to be asleep all day. I'm going to be asleep all night. When we ever gonna see each other?
She'll call me and be like, I know you going to bed. I know. Just hold on. I can tell you something. I'm going to bed.
She's going to call me. I'm going to be asleep.
No, I'm talking about now. She called me now. And she'd be like, Ron, I know you about to go to bed. What? If you know I'm about to go to bed, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I literally call him whenever and I just hope that he answers. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
You know I'm going to bed.
I'm an early bird. I wake up
and
early.
And then he'll call me at like, what is it?
But like when I wake up in the morning?
Yeah, which would be like, 5. 10 a.m., 7 and 9 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, what? Oh, I'll talk to you later. And I'll just talk to
him. I'm like, no, get your ass
right. Right, yeah. I'm like,
no. So how many boyfriends did you have during your bartending?
I've dated like actual relationships. Probably like 4. I wouldn't say like all of them were boyfriends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More like we were talking serious, but we never like had the title. 2 real boyfriends.
Gotcha.
The other 2 definitely weren't.
Okay.
And it all ended because of bartender.
No. One of them did it.
Uh-oh, story time.
No. I'm trying to think. Like, okay. Backtrack. You know the one I'm talking about, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, I do know that one. But I don't know if she's going to tell that. But
I don't know.
But no, she might tell you that one off air. But that's a wild so one.
I feel like it's a lot she ain't going to say on air. Yeah, she talk about. So I don't know what you're gonna talk
about. I remember
about
I found out at work that he had a new girl.
You know what? Let me get into something. I'm glad he said that. Let me.
I don't know what you're gonna talk about.
If we're gonna get spicy, let's just get a little spicy. Like,
is this after dark?
Wow. I mean, technically, you know, we in here.
It's 7:42 p.m.
So that's
after dark for us.
That's the club for me right there.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. It's 10:42 East Coast.
That's so, it. Okay, yeah. So with this bottle girl, lifestyle. I know you run into a lot of high value men. Mm-hmm. You know, some men that we've spoken about, mm-hmm. that we know about in this unit that we know about. Now, is this? I feel like bottle girls and you know these girls work at the club. This is what they look for.
Yes. So
yeah, this is what y'all look for. I don't know if you still
No. Don't say y'all as
yeah,
a
name. Yeah, no, you was a bottle girl. You was a bottle girl. Don't do that.
I wasn't looking for that.
Don't do that. Don't do
I
that.
I was not looking
Come
for
Come on, Alex, don't do that.
Wait, you wasn't looking for it, but you end up in it.
You end up in it. Don't do that.
Okay, let's not air all my dirty laundry.
I went down no
matter what. But here's the thing.
We ain't naming no names.
We ain't naming no name. I mean, tell about your lifestyle.
But I remember this one girl. I'm still friends with her to this day. She came to me when I was working, because I used to work at a popular club called Rose Bar in DC.
Yes.
For a really long time. And
yes, that's where we met.
That is where we met, yes. That's where I meet everyone. So everyone meet goes to Rose Bar.
Yeah, you didn't meet Cam at Rose Bar. You met him here.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You met him in California, Loft. In the Rose Loft.
That's just so funny. So I remember she came to me and she was like, I really want to get into nightlife out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, you know, the easiest way that I ever tell girls, like, you got to become friends with a promoter or an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you don't know who the owner is, because no owner's going to be like, oh, yeah, I own this. Like, no, you just have to be around the promoters, and the promoters, like, bring you around, be like, okay, I want you to work for me. I do parties at this club.
Gotcha.
I want you to be our waitress or bartender.
Yeah.
Because nobody, to get in the club, you don't just go and, like, apply. There's no, like, apply here.
Oh, there's no. Online. No, you don't say that. Like, you don't say that like a little kiosk, like a Target.
No,
like
you used to be.
How did you get in? How did you get in?
Like, to Rose Bar.
My homeboy AJ, who was a promoter, I hung with him for like 2
gotcha.
Years, and my cousin worked the door at Rose Bar.
Oh, okay, well.
So right, I was working at a place called the Fillmore.
Yeah.
For 4 years, but it was like year 2 that I was there, and I remember I like got on the phone with him, and I was like, AJ, I need a job at Rose, and I've been trying to get a job at Rose Bar for the longest, and I've been hanging out with you for like 2 years. Why haven't you got me a job? And he's like, all right. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, I got you an interview next week. Don't fuck it up. And gotcha. It worked. But
the girl,
What?
You talking about the girl, what she was talking about.
Oh, so yeah. So basically the girl, she ended up hitting me. She's like, so I want to get in the nightlife, but I don't know how to get about it. And I was like, well, what is your goal? Like, are you trying to save for something? Because she went to VC with me.
Yeah.
She was in pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to see, like, what her end game, were you trying to, like,
yeah, anybody in the medical anybody in the medical field, they freak. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she with it.
Noted.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's facts. Yeah.
I believe it. Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, come on.
So, I remember asking, like, what's your end goal? Are you just trying to stack for a little bit until you get a real pharmacy job or what? And she was like, I just want to be saved.
Damn.
And she's like, I want
someone. I respect the honesty.
That's what you want. She's like, I
You should have said, do I need to bring out a Bible? Like, I can call you.
Like, it's Rose Bar, not the church.
Yeah, that's church across the street.
So she was like, I just want to find someone who's going to take care of me. Like, I don't want to do this. And I'm thinking, this girl, I always looked at her like such a smart girl. Like, went to pharmacy school. Like, got her degree, all this stuff. And she was like, I just want to be safe. I don't want to work. And I'm like, well, what the? Why'd you go to college? For a family. But I'm just like, I guess. I mean, you could have just made it in business.
So, like, I know how this is going to end. I feel like she did it.
She ended up getting picked up by some big trick.
Oh, like, yeah, big.
She got tricked. Damn. And
she said the intention. She manifested the intention. And she did that.
For sure.
Yeah.
She got pregnant. She has a daughter now.
Oh, she's locked in?
But I don't think they're together anymore.
I don't matter.
But yeah. She's locked in.
She's still together with his bank account.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She locked in. I mean, listen, and that's what I feel like a lot of them girls, like, they get hollered at left and right, but it's quantity over, it's quality over quantity for them. It's like, all right, they may, you know, if you look good, they may give you a number, but they trying to see, like, what team you playing for or what business you got.
You know who has the best position, though?
Who?
The door girls.
Okay.
Door girls have the best position. If you want to get picked up, like, at all, be a door girl.
Yeah. Hey, ladies, if you're listening and you looking to get saved, like a
door
home girl.
Yeah,
not
okay?
Door Dash.
Yeah, door not Door Dash. Hey, Door Dash is going to be a lot for you.
No, because I have a lot to say on this topic.
Actually, okay, let's talk about it.
Here's one thing that I'm going to speak on with this is I never realized, like, how much people, like, are faking it in the club. And I remember before I started working, my cousin pulled me aside. She's like, I know you're about to start working. But because she had been working the door for a minute, and she was like, I just want you to know, everything's going to seem so different after you work here, you know? And I learned that people do, like, what is it, when they come out with all the bottles, sometimes they do that, and they're not actually dropping them. They do, like, a show, a bottle show.
Interesting.
Just to get people to buy, because it's all ego.
Interesting.
So they might take it to a promoter's table. And they're all in on it. Like, bring out five aces. Bring out five aces. Cool, blah, blah, blah. Look like they're dropping it. Take it back.
That's solid.
And then next day, it'll be like, nah, give me eight. Like.
Here's the thing. While we talking about the bottles, if you getting one bottle, don't put no sparkles on it. Just bring the bottle out. Because ain't nobody got time to put. You got one.
No, but that's the whole point. Because people want, like.
But one bottle look kind of stupid.
It looks stupid.
If you have the one bottle.
Yeah, bring me the bottle. Just hand it to me. If I order one bottle. Hey, just give me.
But what table is only getting one bottle?
No, I'm just saying, if you there. Because I was at some event. And the dude ordered a bottle at the bar. And the girl came. And she took the light. And boom. And handed it to him. And he was like, all right, thanks.
I do that. At the bar, if somebody buys a bottle, I do it.
Yeah, no. Put it down. I don't need all that. But that's a good tactic, though, because ego plays a big part in the club.
But I want to go back to your point. Why a door girl?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I had to speak on that.
Yeah, gotcha.
Door girls, because they're the ones that check you in. So they see what your minimum is. They see how much the table you're spending.
Oh,
and
they see everything.
What you do. Oh, we got Kevin Durant coming in. Mm-hmm. He got a 10K minimum. Oh, we got Kevin Durant. Okay, hold up. Let me... And then, you know, you got to walk them into, hi, I'm so-and-so, introduce yourself, you know, talk to them while you're walking. Hey, when I'm done with this, I'm going to come to your table and hang out with you. When they're done at the door, when they're done checking on the tables, they go and party.
Oh,
and so when they party, they go to the tables that they checked in.
And they already started a conversation.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Is there, like, a certain section that you only could work, like, how do you secure, like, you say you see Kevin Durant come to the club, how do you be like, I want that section? Or is it like, you got this section, you got this section, you got this section, and that's it? Or is it seniority who gets the best tables?
I mean, kind of there actually is. I know a guy who we used to make fun of. He used to be like, I pay rent on 502. Like, that was his table.
He was always
Always at that table. Always matched the minimum, whatever it was. If it was 2K minimum, he did 2K.
What's the highest? What's the minimum usually?
So when we opened back up, I'm saying we, like, I still work at Rose Bar. When Rose Bar, when DC opened back up,
yeah.
when Rose Bar opened, everybody was going crazy because they started off with 10K minimum. And then it moved to 20K.
Okay.
No host.
Oh.
3x3 plywood table, and you get it.
10K.
10K.
To party.
People were paying it. I mean, people were excited to be outside.
I ain't never been that excited.
And what comes with that?
Well, you have to spend that much in bottles, basically.
How much is one bottle?
Depends on what you get. So you can get a Moet for $250, I think it's $300.
$300. Mm-hmm. So you got to buy 10K worth of things.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, if you get an Ace, that's $1,200 right there. So
get 10. So bottles. Get 10 Ace bottles. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
I don't drink them.
I don't need. Like,
I mean, but if you have everybody in your section, you're just gonna pass a
yeah
bottle to everyone.
I get it. I'm the, but you know,
that's where the flashiness of people just pouring in on their watches, their jewelry, trying to, you know, people.
Wait, people.
That.
Wait, people.
You don't know people do that.
No, because I'm a regular.
You don't
nigga.
See it on Instagram.
No, I don't follow people like people. That. We both said this.
They pouring it on their watch.
So, what's one the of my homies, he just did this. They have, like, you know, they get their watches just to kind of stunt. Because, you know, a lot of people come in with fake jewelry, a lot of guys. They'll come with, like, a fake Rolex, a fake chain. So what they do is, to show that it's not fake, they'll take their watch and they'll pour, like, an Ace, or they'll clean their hands in it just to show. And it's, like, still ticking and stuff, just to show that it's real.
I don't like this stuff, man, because it's stupid.
It's so dumb.
Cam clocked out. Like, because if I was standing beside Cam in the club and I was like, hand me the bottle real quick, he'd be like,
what's the point of that?
What you doing?
I remember I, like, yelled at my boy. I was like, you are so dumb. And he was like, such an idiot. He was so drunk. And he was like, that's what they were doing. They had to get rid of the bottle. I mean, if you're not going to drink it, they're going to, like, throw it away. So they just pour it, and they pour it, like, to...
Oh, so they get it on video and mm-hmm. be like...
Like, ah, my jewelry's real type, you know? Because there's a lot of frauds out
that's
here.
That's a lot of... That's a lot of internal battling. That's a lot of...
That's just not that serious.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He's dancing on butt.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, when it comes to, like, that type of
environment.
And, you know...
Yeah, it's not made for
what I've noticed is, like, the design of a lot of these clubs where they are very successful is they have it where... The tables are all facing each other. So they'll have, like, a square or an oval or something where everybody's facing each other. So you see who's doing what. And it makes you want to keep doing it.
It just don't.
You never answer my question, though. How do you determine?
Oh, yeah, the sections.
Ignoring his questions. I'm
the sorry. Girls get what table? Because if Kevin Durant come in, obviously everyone want his table.
Yeah.
What do you mean the girls?
Like who gets the
bottle girls. How do y'all decide
usually talk about it when. Like they open before they open, they have like a pre-shift. Mm-hmm. We all talk about everything, and they have their table sheet. So based off of who's more advanced and who's not, you have your weaker links, of course. Then you have like your seniors who've been there for a minute. They're gonna, of course, take it.
So you was like a senior citizen.
So I'm saying who gets to decide though? Is it the bottle girls?
I'm not a bottle girl, first off, I'm a bartender.
The promoter or the owner gets to decide who gets Durant's
table.
The
promoter, whoever booked them. They mm-hmm. talk about it with their promotion team and the owner, and they say, oh, this person wants 504. Oh, they want 504, 504. They want their tables next to each other. Mm-hmm. Or depending on how much, you know, you can have like 5, 10, 11, and 12 that are only $1,000 minimum. Mm-hmm. But the pit, because that's where like it's popping, where you see everybody sees each other. Oh, that's 2,000.
No, but I ain't talking about the guests. I'm talking about the bottle girls. How do y'all decide who gets Kevin Durant?
Whoever the owner or the manager of that day picks.
Oh, they just
picked.
Okay,
so that's what I was asking. Like, is it the bottle girls who get to decide amongst each other, or the manager say, no, I want you?
Like, we used to have John Wall come all the time.
North Carolina nigga?
Yes. And it would either only be one or two girls, one of the same two girls that would always serve him. Because
he requested it.
Not just because he requested it, but just because, you know, you want to be served by the... By the same person, you're building a relationship, and you know they know how to get more money out. Like, I remember one time this girl got him to tip 6K extra.
Ooh, solid.
And I was working the service bar, which I get a percentage off the bottle girls because I'm handing them their bottles. I was like, I made $1,000.
No, that's solid.
Just off that.
That's solid.
Not off them, but like off them.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I guess when you're going into that, and when you're young with a lot of money, and when you start, I guess when you're going into that environment, I guess 10K for a table when you're making multi-millions is kind of is whatever.
You know, I mean, the PPP loan was great.
Not for sure. People, I mean,
throwing it like it's nothing.
What's the funniest thing you've seen in a section?
Yeah,
while working there,
or craziest?
What's the saddest and what's the lamest thing?
Well, I think the lamest might be the watch thing. It could be close. That's close. That's
the
close.
The saddest is this girl. Oh, I love her so much, but she totally opened the she. Brought the bottles out.
Yeah.
As soon as she brought it, she opened it and the whole bottle poured.
Wait.
Like it was a bottle of Bel Air.
So when she popped it,
the whole thing
spilled. It just went everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was that built up?
I don't know if it was that built up. I think she like spilled it.
Oh, yeah.
But like she didn't know how to properly open a bottle. It was like her second day or something. Oh,
okay. A lot of pressure. The pressure was on.
They don't go through bottle open training.
That would make sense.
A lot of girls I know when I was working in Vegas, I mean, that's another story on that hiring process. They hire girls straight off their looks. So a lot of girls don't have any experience.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but also you would want some experience because they handle it.
Or just train it. Or like, train it. You know how to open a bottle. No? All right. Let's go through this.
Let's go through it. Yeah. What's the most money you've seen spent in the club?
Besides the night when me and Rome.
Yeah. Besides the night when me and Cam pulled up. You remember that one night?
From one table, over 30K.
Oh, yeah.
And what did they get for that?
A lot of praise. But they got a lot of aces.
A lot of bottles.
What I learned, I remember in Vegas, they always used to say what you want to upsell is champagne. It goes the quickest. Liquor, you're not going to drink liquor as fast as you drink champagne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you want to like sell so much champagne and you want to get like two bottles of tequila or bottle of Hennessy, bottle of tequila, whatever.
Okay.
I got a good question.
All right.
Do y'all treat the athletes bad when they mess up y'all money? Like, for example, when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, I was like, they were winning. I'm like, Magic City. Onyx is about to be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, them strippers about to make so much money if they win the Super Bowl and then they lost. So I know they didn't make that much money. So I was like, all the strippers were like, we ain't fucking no football players because y'all messed up our money. Do y'all hold that against them when they mess up a good money potential night?
I don't remember that, actually. I feel like that happened maybe one time.
Mm-hmm.
No, because people still spend.
Yeah.
People make deposits. They put their deposits down. So they got to...
Gotcha, okay.
You know, when you secure a table.
Has anyone card ever declined at their
night? Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
and what happens?
What you have to do is you get your payment before you bring the bottles out.
Okay.
And there's been girls that have gotten fired for doing this where they don't take the payment before, they take it after, and it declines. Well, and when that happens, you go to jail.
Who go to jail?
The person who was supposed to pay.
If it declines.
I've seen a lot of men go to jail for this.
Wait, okay, hold on. They go to jail because
their card declines after they drink the bottles?
No, I'm saying, but what can they just say, hold on a second?
I got another card.
I'm like, you swipe it, boom. Whoa, hold on, nigga. I got another card.
No,
shit.
Like after repetitive,
I'm
trying and what every are they charged different with? Card. So what we do is we have a breakdown system. So first we try to charge, so let's say an ace is, how much is an ace in the store? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Yeah,
my speed. Jameson is a bottle of Jameson is like $60 in the store.
Maybe.
That's cost. We call that price cost. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I know we all get like one bottle that we could probably sell at cost. Like if my friend comes in, I'm like, can I get a bottle of Jameson at cost for the bar for one of my friends? And they'll pay that. So if somebody cards decline, what we do is we first like, okay, bottle of Jameson is like $300, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going through. All right. Let's charge them the cost price. Doesn't go through. You got to go to jail. Like, we try to work with people.
I'm going to be so mad I'm sitting in jail.
What did they get charged with?
I don't know. That's never actually personally happened to me.
They get charged with a...
Because I don't do bottle service.
They get a charge of, nigga, you should have been home.
So they get arrested while the party's still going on.
It's usually at the end of the party when this is happening. So
you've seen people get arrested?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Throw them right in the paddy wagon. Absolutely.
That's it's wild. Not the club, man. It ain't
worth it.
You don't need to be stunned.
Now you in jail cell and your watch wet. Because you was pouring liquor on your watch.
watch is wet.
You got a wet ass watch in the sub.
Wet watch. That's the name of this podcast. Walking around with a wet watch.
Yeah, I would have to say though, like Vegas is probably the worst though.
So let me tell y'all. I remember when she first told me she was going to Vegas. I was like, all right, Vegas cool. When I knew it was time for her to leave Vegas is when she called me one night crying. She called me one night crying, talking about, I'm walking on the highway, I'm drunk. Why the fuck are you, get out of Vegas. That's enough. That was a bunch going on that time.
Really sad day.
But when you got to Vegas, I do remember you saying, like, the politics was just different in Vegas.
My self-esteem was crushed when I moved to Vegas.
Gotcha.
You know, they always have this joke where they say, you know, you might be the hottest thing in your city, but you go to another city, you might be like a 5. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened with me, but
that's what happened to you. I say it was happening to me, but that's what happened to me.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just,
but
like,
to Vegas standards, that's what
exactly,
you mean. Yeah,
and that's what I had to learn. Like, everybody's perception of beauty is different.
Yeah.
Being a black girl,
yeah, it's different.
Alone was fighting against me. Like, that was my biggest thing. That, like,
they wanted the big titty white girl.
Yeah. So each club has something different. Like, I know, like, Wet Republic, they like their girls to be very lean, muscular. Encore, they like their girls to be very skinny.
And
it'd
be the fattest niggas that want these girls looking like this, huh?
Every time. So why did you go to Vegas then?
So I went to Vegas because when I was working at Rose Bar, I was really like over it. I had just gotten out of a really toxic relationship, and my homegirl, they were shutting down Rose Bar for renovations.
Was that the relationship I met you at?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had already broken up with him at that point.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know which. Yeah. No.
You broke up with him the same day you met me.
Yeah. That one. I
remember that.
Yeah. That's a funny story. Did he ever tell you how we met?
We'll tell. We'll talk about it.
But yeah, so anyway, so I go to Vegas because my homegirl was like, hey, Rose Bar's about to shut down. You know, I've always wanted to work in the clubs in Vegas. Those girls make $200,000, $300,000 in a season. And she was like, and a season's like from March to October. March to like October.
That's a good piece of money.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And then they go on vacation, you know,
and then they come
November,
back.
December, yeah. January, February. And then they come back and do it all over again. And I was like, sold. Because, like,
especially you young, want to make some money. Like,
okay, I was like 26. Like, let's go. Let's do it.
Based on the precursor, it didn't end like that.
No. So, you know, everything, I should have stayed. No, actually, I'm glad I left. But a part of me was like, I should have stayed.
I would say you left and took the high road, but from what he says, the highway.
Oh, this nigga, it's an idiot.
He's liars. One liar, I swear.
Huh? Can I get some drugs? Oh yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, I was in Vegas because it seemed good.
Yeah,
it looked good. It was presented to me good. You know, my job is about to close down for a few months.
Everything seemed like it was supposed to be.
I needed something different. Yeah. I, you know, got rid of dead weight, and I'm just like ready to.
Like, let's go to the West Coast.
Let's go to the West Coast.
Yeah.
I met you. I was like, I got friends.
You're like, I got friends out there.
That's where it went downhill.
Yep. I get there, and first things first, I realized that my homegirl was only going out there because she had a boyfriend that was like kind of living out there.
She didn't display that information.
You didn't want to come alone.
Gotcha.
So how the auditions work is, Rose Bar has shut down. January 1st was our last day open. I moved the 2nd, and my first audition was the 3rd.
Yeah.
And I was doing, and we were living in hotels.
So you moved before you even got the job.
Yeah. I cut my lease.
That's faith.
I packed everything up, put it in a storage unit, and I packed two big suitcases, and I was out.
In one day? No. You said the last day was the 1st, you moved on the 2nd.
No, I'm saying how I packed everything and left before, you know, I got a job. So I had a girlfriend this girl that I was living with, I didn't even know her yet. Like, she used to work at the clubs, and my manager connected us. He's like, hey, I have somewhere for you to stay. until you figure it out. I didn't even know her. So me and her like met cyberly, and then like I
you know, it's interesting what girls be doing.
It's crazy.
I know y'all not friends no more.
Actually, we are.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's
sometimes I still get mail at her house and she sends it to me.
But do y'all talk?
Here, very occasionally. Like, it's not like okay, we're best
so y'all
friends,
like associates.
But I will never not fuck with her because she really just let me in her house. No, for sure. Rent free for like 3 months.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Like, she held it down. And she had like a 3-bedroom apartment. She just let me crash in one of the rooms.
That's solid, yeah.
Yeah. So, definitely was living on an air mattress for a minute, like, thugging it out.
Yeah.
I had no money. I went out there and was just like, but before I lived with her, I was in hotels for like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just working out twice a day, going to auditions, then coming home, working out. Like,
yeah, you told me you were stressed.
I was so stressed. I was so stressed because I was like, I had a big going away party. I was like, I can't leave. I can't like just go back home. I left everything. Oh, yeah. I left my bomb
you
job.
You like, bye, bitches.
With no safety net.
That's where being a girl wanting to celebrate everything worked against you. If you didn't have the big party, no one even knew you left.
You could
have
just dipped out and be like, all right, well.
Let me try it.
Yeah, let me
try it. Kept my lease. No, but I made it work. I got denied by every single place but one. And I had the second audition at Dre's. Like, there was for the after hours and there was for the day club. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the day club, but I got the after hours.
And that's where I want to be, the day club.
Yeah, and we went to, like, all these different auditions, and it was, like, so intimidating.
What'd you have to do?
So we would get there, and we would have our hair, makeup, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd have, like, our sweats on, but underneath we had to go in there with, like, heels and a bikini. They would give us a number. And they'd be like, okay, you're up. And we would go with like two girls or just by ourselves. And they'd be like, okay, so can you tell me about yourself? What's your name? We'd be like, oh, I'm Alexandra. How much bar experience or whatever you're applying for? How much model experience do you have? So I'd be like, oh, I've been bartending for 6 years. Okay, and how much model experience do you have? Well, I did promo modeling. And I was like, oh, I've done that for 3 years. And what's a fun fact about you? I moved here on a complete whim from the East Coast trying to get a job. Like, I would say something like that, like random. And that would be it.
That's the audition.
I would wait in line for hours. The longest line I waited in was for Wet Republic for 9 hours.
Oh.
9 hours. I didn't eat, and I was too scared to eat because I didn't want to get bloated.
Oh,
so I could stand
man.
In front of them.
It was that many girls?
Jesus Christ.
The most, but usually it would be like, 2 hours, but you nine hours.
It was dry Republic by the time you got up there.
Oh my god! Yes, very much dry. And I was the fuck over it at that point, and it was.
Did you even pee? Get out line and go pee?
No, I did. But my homegirl was holding the line. I remember getting up there, and that was probably the weirdest audition because I walked in there. Like, just in a bikini, there was, like, these lights just, like, on me. Everything was dark. I couldn't even see my judges. And they were just like, okay, so, what is your name? Like, it was just so...
Hey, who's judging you? Like,
yeah, that's it. Promoters.
Like, the owner.
The VIP hosts. They don't call them promoters out there. They call them VIP hosts. Or an owner or a manager, whoever they had. So, I got to... I remember it was the day after Valentine's Day was my last audition. So I've been there for a month and a half. No callback. My homegirl got a callback from Dre's Beach Club.
And I already know that bothered you. You was like,
I was so stressed. Yeah. Like, I was like, what am I going to do? And I'm like looking for other types of jobs. I would have to get in the casino. But how the casino is, it's all union. So it's seniority. So, you know, it's really hard to get into that and make a lot of money.
That shit is crazy. This nightlife shit is wild.
It was so stressful. So... I remember I was like, I prayed and I was like, I have to get this job. Lord, I have to get this job. Like, I have nothing else. This is literally the last option.
Mm-hmm.
And I get down there and they're like, okay, tell us your name. Tell us, Dre. And what I will say about Dre's was the only place that didn't make me audition in a bikini, both of them.
Oh, okay.
I had to wear like a suit or like a dress.
That's
like,
cool.
Look like professional.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, tell me your name, where, like, fun fact about you, whatever. So when they said, okay, and why should we hire you? I was just like, I've been auditioning since January, and I'm trying to get a job because I have a lot of people back home that are trying to spend some money. So unless y'all trying to make some money, y'all need to hire me. Like, I'm bringing a lot of money to the table. And they're like, okay, cool. And then I got a call like 3 days later. They're like, we were sold. Because I was just like, I'm just trying to bring as much money to the club. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to make some money? Let's make some money.
You know, that's what you I'm be hearing. Knowing niggas. You be knowing niggas to be out and spending money. Yeah,
and then it was so frustrating because I'd be working. They'd be like, Alex Rosebar. And I'm like, Alex Dre's. Like, stop doing that. Coming all the way to Vegas.
But you provided value.
So how was it when you started? You said it wasn't.
It actually wasn't all that. There are only two clubs that actually make like the $200,000, which is Encore and Wet Republic. That's why that line was so long. They make the most. I think Wet probably makes the most. But they have like crazy minimums. Our minimums are like $1,000, $1,500. And you got to think, after hours, people burnt out.
You'd
be lucky to get me at the night party sometimes.
Yeah, I won't be at the after hours. Yeah, after hours, I'm going to be in bed. That's going to be my after hours.
But what people like about after hours, we had a lot of celebrities that came in there with like their side chicks. And like they'd be real low. Like we had a lot of celebrities that would just be low. You know, they don't want to be, you know, called out. And it's really dark in there, you know, got the red light going on.
So how did it end up on the highway? How did it get from being hired to the highway?
I was the highway. I was just really drunk that day. That was just a really bad day. I think it just had hit me because I was so homesick, and I came out there and I had all these like high expectations, and I was like really, really excited, and I wasn't making money like that. You know, I'm sleeping on an air mattress in somebody's apartment.
Eating McNuggets.
Eating fast food. Trying to survive. Like, yeah. I really wasn't making money like that. Like, I was probably making like $500 a week working those hours. And I was like, what? Did I leave my job for this? Like,
That can hit you.
Where did your roommate get hired?
She was a stripper.
Okay.
And she made the costumes for the girl, for the dancers at Dre's. So she was
she's making decent money,
which is why I liked it, because she sewed. So we connected off that, because I sew. I was like, but she was a whole stripper, so we would leave around the same time.
Well, then after that you ended up coming here.
So after that, Dre's didn't work out. I was like over it. I spent 6 months in Vegas. That's all they got out of me. June, I packed up my stuff and I left. And a friend of mine was like, yeah, I mean, you can work with me. I need some assisting. I do, I manage a lot of artists out here. So I need a personal assistant, which everybody's a personal assistant out in LA, I guess. So I was working.
Personal assistant.
I was working under the table though. So it was a friend of mine. I knew him since college. Like I was friends with his wife. Me and her went to school together. And he just came up on some money, so he just needed some assistance. So I was working for him, but even then, I was
still wasn't making.
I mean, no, I was making good money, and I was coming back and forth, but I just realized how much I missed home.
Gotcha.
And it was just a lot. It was too much.
So ultimately, do you think you were running from something?
I think I was just trying to find happiness, like to be like really, like. Don't laugh at me.
You wanted to be saved.
No, I didn't want to be saved. Stop it. I'm trying to be like deep right now. You try to play with me.
No, I get it. You're soul searching.
I really went on a soul searching mission. Like, I got really, really close to God. And I started just look at myself differently. And like, because being in that environment of like being picked at, you know, for my image. And I was just like, I realized all those years when I was like really fit, I was really depressed, like trying to keep up with a certain look that wasn't me. And I was just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, and then when I took that year off, not bartending, I was like, yo, like, I love it here. Like, I can breathe. Like, it was just something like I was missing.
That's fair.
Now that you've been, you was a bartender for so many years, do you like going to clubs anymore, or are you over it now?
She was at the club last night.
Here we go.
She was at the club last
night. Here we go. Trying to give you some sympathy.
And it was R&B night.
She was at the club last night.
Okay, they were playing Mint Condition. Come on.
didn't play Mint Condition.
I had to be there. I love me a Mint Condition playlist. I feel
they be jamming. They be jamming.
Highlight Room on Wednesdays.
Do you see yourself doing any more bartending?
I bartend now.
I meant as far as
okay,
like I, as far would, as much as you was doing it before.
You know what? And I'm gonna. I honestly thought I was retired, but when
you did tell me you was retired, I was you retired. Came back with the 4-5 like Jordan.
Okay,
you came back. came back to the bar.
But it was just because when outside opened, I was like, I can't miss this money. It's crazy outside.
People are spending money. But like, now let me ask you something. This don't get offended. Let me ask you something. I don't care if you get offended, be all right.
you never care.
I just got sleepy. I don't know what the hell is going on. I have been up since 2, so that's probably why.
How did you stay awake?
So you, all right, you said you was retired, mm-hmm. and you went back because you said it's good money outside. Mm-hmm. Where do you draw the line of like, I need to work on my personal stuff and getting this
now,
money?
Now, that's what I meant right now.
Okay.
So, all right. I did the soul searching and trying to figure out what made me happy.
Because, first of all, let me just give her this plug. So, before I knew what she did, she was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm an artist. I sew, I make dresses, da da da. She made dresses from scratch for everybody on her bartending thing. I was like,
it was uniforms.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, you made all these? She was like, yeah, from scratch. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, wow. And mm-hmm. then you showed me your painting and all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you do this for real. Mm-hmm. So it's time for you to do it for real.
I know.
And that's what everyone did during the pandemic. They switched to their passion.
I did a lot of reconstruction in my apartment.
Yeah, you did.
That's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to get the feel for that again. I didn't do a lot of that during COVID because, mm-hmm. I mean, nobody was going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sewing for anyone and I wasn't really motivated or inspired at mm-hmm. that point. I was looking at my walls every day.
Yeah.
So I wasn't feeling it. And looking also, I was stressed out because I was like, what the fuck?
You were looking at your walls and playing with them too.
Yeah, I was painting them.
No, someone else was painting them.
Hey-o!
She was ankles deep in stress. Inside joke.
Yes, go ahead. That's where you're at now. You're trying to get into, or you're getting into just focusing on your personal, because I mean us three have had this conversation, me and you have had this conversation, you just start.
I know. What actually helped motivate me is I was working for a fashion designer, and I was watching a lot of stuff that she was doing and how she started, and she would do interviews because she's really up there now, and I was like, why am I sleeping on myself?
Yeah, your shit good. I told you.
I haven't seen it, but based on what you're saying, it sounds like it's good.
Shit good. Sleep. So the thing is, so your ultimate, let me just ask, your ultimate thing, would it be to sewing, like where you making people stuff, or is it to design?
I don't really like doing custom orders anymore. I mean, I did that for a long time. That was one of my businesses, was doing a lot of prom dresses and homecoming dresses.
So what would be the thing that you would make you happy to design? Just design?
Honestly, I'm not gonna go all the way deep in there, but I mean, just to start my own line.
I know, but because you sew, you design. Just start your own line and just. But you designed it and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But then still do paintings on the side, open up a gallery, a showing.
Gotcha.
So outside of yourself, what's stopping you?
This is getting really intense.
You want to get on the podcast. Right,
if that's what is needed.
Is that what I think it is, Cam?
This is supposed to be.
Boss talk.
I'm honestly the one that's in the way.
It's never going to be a perfect time.
It's never.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the only perfect time would be the pandemic. Perfect time.
But I was too.
But you would do it. Yeah, you're doing other things.
Like, look at the shades. Like, we just started.
Yeah, you just gotta do it.
Now, mm-hmm. next month would be mm-hmm. a year.
I think it's the. Are you afraid of judgment?
No.
Are you scared of failure?
No.
You
have imposter syndrome?
Imposter.
Yeah.
No, I just honestly I've been lazy.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
And I'd be procrastinating like a bitch, and I'd be like, "No, I'm gonna do it."
I remember one time you were supposed to do something, and I was like, "Don't be out there drinking tequila." And then she sent me a story, and she was like, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "Get your ass in the house."
Here's the thing, but like your procrastination, you gotta get to the root of it. For me,
if I don't have a routine,
then I'll procrastinate. So I have to have a routine.
Yeah.
What is it for you?
No, that's it.
You'll get in a groove, but then you'll stop. That's what you gotta figure out, why you stopped the groove.
Yeah, I'm like a squirrel. Like, you know,
you gotta get back into your guy, get back into the groove.
Yeah. I have like ADD.
This nigga here. Stupid.
She said she like R&B.
Yeah, that's good. It's good R&B. Like it. It's good R&B putt. But yeah, no, yeah. So you feel like you just get distracted easily.
Yeah. And then I get so many ideas.
Do you get distracted by boys?
All right.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You're
right, though. Okay, so what? One thing. All right, let's just talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
What I have a bad habit of doing is when I get in a relationship, which is why I'm not in a relationship, is
you minimize your dreams.
I put my relationship first. I put them first. Mm-hmm. So if they, for example, oh, I got this going on, and we about to go out of town for this. Okay. Even though I might have something on my schedule to like set aside to work on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I'll do it later. I'm about to go out of town with him. Like, or he can only meet here. Okay, I'm going to take off work for this. Like, I'm not really making myself a priority, which I've had to learn to not do that anymore.
For sure. You love hard.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Bad.
You be a little stupid sometimes. Okay,
dumb as fuck.
So what would it take for you when you get back home to start?
Well, I've been starting now. I've just finished putting my office together.
Okay,
that's so good. I mean, I just moved into my new spot, and my spot, I got a bigger apartment just so I could have somewhere for my office. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, before we jump out of here, I want to talk about something fun. Let's talk about your private plane experience. Like, how's that? Like,
why are you bringing this up?
What happened? I just figured like some people would. I'm just saying, like, we just having fun. I just want to, because I ain't never, Cam, you been on a private before? Yeah, no, I ain't never been on a private, so I'm like,
always want to talk about that.
What I'm just saying, like, that's a fun experience. Like, I just, you know, like, how was it? Were you excited going to
join the Mile High Club?
Ooh.
Wet Republic in the mouth.
Wet Republic.
Okay.
Like, okay, I get it. That's like, great. Were you like excited, headed to the airport? Like, you was like, oh, absolutely, my God. Like, this the is.
Airport.
Sorry, my fault.
She ain't going where you going.
Yeah, my bad. I'm going to the airport. I'm checking in security. Yeah.
TSA.
Yeah, I'm TSA. Yeah. You pulled up with the bag, hopped out, hopped in. Got you.
Yeah,
it
was quite an experience.
Nice. You went from where to where?
I went from Philadelphia.
From Philadelphia,
to Las Vegas.
That's crazy. So you had a high value. You was with a high value person. That's dope. That's solid. Mm-hmm. That's solid, man. That's cool. I ain't mad at that. I'm trying to manifest what she had. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because me and Cam, how we gonna get on the private? We gotta work hard.
I worked hard for that. I worked damn hard for that. Which, okay?
Y'all meet in the club?
You paid for it?
Actually, no, we did. We met at an event. We didn't meet at the club. We met at an ESPN event.
That makes sense. Yeah.
An ESPY. It was ESPY week.
Oh, here. Okay. That makes sense. So you, yeah, okay, cool.
I'm saying
cool.
Too much. Okay.
Yeah. you paid for it?
Pay for what?
The private, because you said you had to work hard for it.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm still the prize, though. Don't get it twisted. I'm still the prize.
Well, I mean,
did you think this was the one? Did you think
I liked him for the wrong reasons? Okay. I knew in the back of my mind, no, but
you wanted the life
to him.
You wanted the life.
I wanted the life. I know. I wanted the life so bad.
She wanted the life, nigga.
I got a taste of the life. I was like, damn.
She would call me and tell me, and I'd be over there laughing. She'd be like, stop laughing.
Oh no, because when I had called him one time and I was like complaining, I was like, I just feel like bitches be on his line, but blah, blah, blah. And then a couple days later, I take a video of me on the private jet and he's like laughing my ass off. I was like, don't laugh at me. Be happy for me.
That's funny. Like when you say the life, you just wanted to, like what your homegirl was talking about.
Like that was great. Like,
you had to really worry about nothing.
My bills were paid.
Damn.
I didn't have to work. I was working, but I took off work all the time.
How you got
to
pay your bills?
I got to work.
I was getting
only time my bills are taken care of when I was living with my parents when I was a child.
That was a fun time. Yeah. That was the life.
Yeah, it was a family plan phone bill. That was my only bill as a child.
Yeah, but you just felt good in that sense of like,
yeah, like I was being flown out to places. We would randomly have random shopping sprees, like.
And so you think listen to it now, it's like this is what a lot of. It just, I wonder if it just cut off. Hmm. Well, I mean, we're about to wrap up anyway. But you would say this is the life that a lot of the girls, like the IG girl, everybody, this is what they be wanting. Like, mm-hmm. that what you experienced and you was like, I get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's like, I understand.
I get it. But I also am like.
But you also understand what comes with it.
I was stressed as fuck trying to keep up and like making, like. Constantly checking this man's phone, making sure
that's a lot.
I was stressed. That's a lot. I had no trust in that relationship.
Well, since our camera cut, it means we about out of time. But plug yourself, let the people know where they can find you.
IG Pretty Little Birdie. That's Pretty LIL Birdie BYRDIE.
All right, man. That's my dog, Pretty Little Birdie. And say it again for the cameras so they can see you. We trying to make sure they can.
This squeaks for me. Pretty Little Birdie, PrettyLittleBirdie.
There you go.
On all platforms.
All right. Thank you for coming and sharing stuff. We'll have to do a part two. We kind of threw you in here because you asked for it. You've been asked for it, so we threw you in here. Yeah. Cam called you bluff. He said, well, fuck it then. Put the mic on. And
here we are.
All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Comedy Trap House. Until next week, peace.